live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
There you go. It's really nice you come up and stand behind a pulpit and they sent me a pillow with it. Come on, Tammy, that was funny. I don't tell jokes. I don't know if anybody knows that. But I'm like the world's worst on telling jokes. I really have a hard time trying to take the things that men, women go through in life. And, you know, some comedians make that a whole livelihood. I was sitting with one of the guys that I relate with a couple nights ago, and we got to talking about different things. Anyway, I got in a crazy mode. It was so funny that I just got to laughing myself at myself. And how many of you know a merry heart maketh good medicine? Amen. And, you know, I was praying and kind of looking at going a different way. And when that happened to me and that joy came on me, I'm sitting there going, wow, now this didn't happen very often. And I started cracking myself up. And it was really funny. And as I was thinking and kind of doing that, I thought, you know, what can I do for this church in any relationship to what you've done for me? And I mean this from my heart. Minnie and I, you know, we've been on the road, pastored for 20 or 25 years, and have been doing this for almost 50 years, 49, 47 years in the ministry. And I've been a very intense, just an intense guy. You know, I never have been a jokester. I couldn't tell a joke if it walked up and hit me in the head. And I found myself here and out at the, you can't call that place a cabin. That's like an insult. Just walking around out there is just beautiful. But anyway, I just was overwhelmed by the love and the anointing, the presence of God. It was so overwhelming. I was just taken by it. You know, not a lot of places that I go, it's like a job. I mean, it really is. It's sometimes hurtful, not to me, but sometimes to me. But it's hurtful to prepare word to share with somebody. And it's a pretty heavy word, you know. And that really affects me because I love God's people. And I've not always been able to express myself in the love of the Father like I wanted to. And it's really only, and I don't know, maybe it's because of my age. Or maybe it's just things like praying for me. I mean, the doctors said, you know, we're going to have to take your feet off. Well, I know, I mean, a couple days ago, we were praying, and I mean the Spirit of God hit me like a ton of rocks, and this is not going to happen. And even again this morning, in an affirming way, you know, You go to church and you go there to serve the people, to help them. That's my motive, is to love God's people and let you know that your Father loves you. And it's unusual for that to happen to me and many. And, you know, we're always kind of giving out. And since we've gotten here, it's just been an overwhelming time of not an intercession like prayer, but intercession like the love of the Father. Do you understand what I mean? For years, I told the story of my life, and I just grieved over it over and over, because it's just not a good thing to have to talk about. But that's what people wanted, so I tried to deliver that. But now, in these days of my life, I'm able to share something that I never knew, and that is the love of the Father. And you, a lot of you know, I didn't have, my dad was in the federal penitentiary and all that kind of stuff, and I had a real tough beginning. And then even after I met the Lord, it was really, really difficult to fit in, because I was almost mad at the church because of complacency, and I couldn't understand it, you know, and it just used to drive me crazy. And then sometimes I'd get angry, and instead of really loving people, which I didn't know how to do, I would get angry at them. And, you know, this church, been here twice, and both times I was able to come here, be here, and walk away and be refreshed by the love of the people. Just amazing to me. And I want you to know from my heart, from Minnie's heart, I don't say this to a lot of people, but I can honestly tell you, I love you. I love you. And my love is a love that will give itself. So I pray you hear my heart in the right way. I don't try to make deals with people, but I really want you to know that you have a friend. Brother Rob, sister, you guys have a friend. And the scripture says a friend sticketh closer than a brother. I just got done teaching a series on that, and I think I was probably ahead of myself. Should be able to come here and tell you. Anyway, if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to where? I've got a pair of glasses somewhere here. That was my warm up. Is that okay?
Amen.
Amen. How tall are you, son? Sir, what?
6'5".
You know, I was 6'3", 6'3" and a half when I went in the Marine Corps. I'm now down to 6 foot. And I don't know what I did wrong, but whatever it wasn't good. But I can tell you from my own heart, enjoy the journey, brother. You get a different look at life. You know what I'm saying? And enjoy that. That's a lot of fun when you're taller than the most average mouse or whatever. I think that was like trying to tell a joke. But again, I didn't do very good. Turn with me to Proverbs 13 and 12. 13:12. Amen. I'm going to read something to you. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred. One of the hardest things that we have to deal with in life, as I see it, is a continual basis of hope. We go through things, and it seems like you know, some things happen and it's not fair. And what it does is seems like it defers, it pushes back to another time. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when you see the hope of God come alive in people that really don't have a reason for hope. And what I mean by that is you walk and you live and you do the absolute best you can, and things don't work out the way you want them to or the way it's even fair for you to have to go through. It's just not right. Well, I've learned in my own life that life is really not fair. It's not a thing that we want to just embrace because it's there. Sometimes people lose their life, take their life, quit, give up. I have personally, Rhonda Priest has, given up literally 1,000 times. Time and time again, I'd get on top of a situation and God start going, well, let me give you this example. When I went to college, now remember, I think some of you know this, but when I went to college, I was 26 years old when I met the Lord, and then Minnie and I, she taught me phonics, you know, how to sound out a word. And I really, to let you know how bad it was, I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I couldn't spell the word book. And I wasn't a functional illiterate, I was a dysfunctional illiterate, which is even somewhat worse. Can you give me some water? I think oh, bless you, sis. Thank you very much. But I found, you know, when I started going down this journey, I went to a church in Missouri, and I was trying to get my life in order after I met the Lord. I figure I'm going back to jail for some things, prison for things that I did. God opened the door. That didn't happen. And so, you know, people are sitting around telling me, man, you ought to go to school. You ought to learn how to preach. And I'm going, I don't want to do that. You know, I'd rather work on a car, man. I'm preaching. I don't even like people. That's really not very good for a preacher, but that's the way it was. Anyway, I'm going through this, and Minnie has to teach me phonics enough to go and take a GED and, you know, hope to pass. Well, I did, and God did so many miracles that I didn't even know he was doing. Are you with me? You know, when it says hope deferred, it's put away to another time. So sometimes you're hoping and it just don't come at all, or it comes different timing than you thought it should. And you don't realize, I didn't realize, that God was building in me the ability to hold on to hope without looking at the circumstances. You know, because we all need hope. We all do. But sometimes when you're seeking hope, it doesn't come when you need it. And then later on, you might have hope show up and you go, oh, why now, man? I mean, you should have showed up a couple days ago. I really needed it back then. And the Lord will just lead you down this road that seems to be a good road, but it's full of rocks. It's full of things that go on. And your hope doesn't seem like it comes alive. It seems like it's there and it's gone. You go, man, I thought things were going to be better than this. I mean, everybody told me I need to get saved. I need to get Jesus into my life. And I need to learn the love of God. Well, I didn't know anything about that. So When I'm going, I take a GED exam, and one of the questions that they had before you take it is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this? And it said, further your education, to get a better job, to do this or that. And I didn't know it at the time, but they were going to give me a test that would match what I was looking to do. Well, I wasn't looking to do anything harder. You know, I mean, I'm looking for, okay, I'll go to Bible college, or I'll go to this church thing, and, you know, they'll teach me how to be a Christian. Well, they didn't. They taught me how to follow rules and regulations. I already had that experience in the Marine Corps, so I didn't need some more of that. But anyway, what I really needed was what was in my mind, at least what I thought I needed. How many of you know God knows that you may need something you don't want? And you say, it was looking so good. You know, when I first met the Lord, I mean, I'd done some things I shouldn't have done, and I knew I was going to go back to prison. And God supernaturally stopped that. And that was like, wow, man, this is really cool, this Jesus stuff. Because without him, I mean, I was going to go to jail all the time. So I really got excited about the Lord doing something. And it made me say, man, I could do this. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I can do this. See, when you get hope, all of a sudden you got something that you can hang on to, and it's good, man. It's really good. But you don't know what's coming down the road. Hello. And so you get this good thing, and man, it's I got some hope. You understand what I'm saying? I'm walking in some faith. And then I went to church in a real wonderful people. It was a, honey, what was it? That was a, well, it was, but it was a church that was built by a denomination to start helping people in a region. You know, it's kind of like a missionary church. Well, that's what it was. Anyway, so I'm going to this church, and these people just loved me to pieces. They really did. Number one, everything was high and tight. Do you know what I'm talking about? The ladies had it up to here, down to there, and to here. And, you know, oh, come on now. You need to laugh with me a little bit. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But there was a day when that's the way it was. Well, many didn't have any clothes that were here and here and all that. And I didn't have any clothes except just work clothes. And we went to church, and then people never said a word. Women didn't wear lipstick. They no makeup, no nothing, bun in the head and all that. And I would sit around looking at them, what's the matter with them folk? You know, they're just kind of like weird, man. You know, because you know, whatever. I'm trying to explain myself, and I'm not doing a very good job, but you know what I'm talking about. When hope comes into your life, it makes things better until you find out that there isn't any more hope. You didn't get another hit. Come on, you know, in a drug addict, you want to get this one shot or sniff or whatever you do, and then that wears out, and you want another one. Hello. And I don't want to compare hope to that, but understand, you have a spirit of expectation. You get to the place that you know, this is going to work out this way, and it doesn't work out that way. And so it feels like, as I said, Scripture said, hope deferred that's put away for another time. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And what we have to do is find a way to deal with hope in our life, so that we walk with a measure of hope in us at all times. Come on, somebody. And it took me a while. It took me a long while. And I hope to God you never take that long doing what it took me years to do. But I finally have gotten to the place. Now, I've finally got to the place that there's never a time that I don't have hope, because there are times. Like doing this convention conference and praying for people to show up and register and do all the things and they don't do it. And we're getting down to the last 3.5 months. I've been working on this almost a year. And boy, just things don't happen. People are excited, and then I have to leave town, and then they're not excited, and you go, God, come on, man, will you help me out? Do you know when you built this beautiful building, you had times when you built it that you thought it was a building sent by the devil? And when you were doing it, parts of it would be really looking good, and then there were other parts, and then things leaked out and things ran over. And you know, I was talking to Brother Bill, and he said they were doing some of the thing for the outco out there, and they got the downspouts, and they were going to have it. And he explained to me all of what they were going to do. And they were going to run it together where it all flowed. I'm sure that you've been out there and found it didn't really flow together. The people that were supposed to do the job kind of blew it. You understand what I'm saying? They just didn't take care of business. And it hurt Bill. Am I right, Bill? Is that Bill, right? Not Sam? Okay, thank you. Just wave at me and say, I love you, brother. Anyway, I'm sure that there were times that you said, you know what? But now you look at it. To me, I walked in here and I said, my God, what a spirit of excellence in this house. Just amazing. It's not like one person built it. It's like the hearts of people when it was being built. Your heart was in it. You know, it wasn't just a contractor came in, contracted, da-da-da-da-da, but every step along the way, there were times that you were struggling. There were times when hope showed up and let you go another step. Are you with me? When you go through things, one of the problems that we have is when hope gets deferred, we think it's forever. You know, I've been married for over 50 years to the same woman. She was my girlfriend 51 years ago. Then I married her. And I'm telling you that because along the way, I found times when my hope of our relationship being great. Boy, that little baby. Isn't that something? Look at that miracle right there. Is that your baby? Grandson. Boy, that little number's as big as your hand. Wow. I love children. Anyway, I'm going to put this down here because it's making me want to go lay down. But here's the truth of what I want to share with you, and that is that there's going to be times, there are times, it doesn't take very long for you to find out things don't go exactly as you planned. And we have to be able to bring up the inability times and settle it with the overcoming times. Let me say it again. You got to bring up the inability times and overcome it. Amen? So hope is not just feeling good. It is coming to a place of tremendous, magnificent change. But it's not always wanted. Anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight or today? Well, as it says, I wrote this down. You are the hope of a coming generation. What this church is, as I've seen it from the first time I came here to this time I've came here, You guys are carrying hope of generations to come. In building the building, in building people, it's not been a waste. Sometimes you'll do things and you think, man, am I wasting my time? Anybody ever come, don't tell me yes, but anybody ever come to church and said, you know, I am just so sick and tired of them people. You know, I was pastoring the church, and I would sit there and the people would show up and I'd almost get disgusted. Why don't you go home? You know, I remember taking a guy and walking him to the door and said, get out. You can either walk out or I'm going to throw you out, but you're gone. And it was because my hope, isn't that terrible? But my hope for his process or his growth in God was overcome by his stupidity. And I had a spirit of expectancy that it was going to be get really good. As soon as he left, it would get really good. And he left, like, you know, I mean, I escorted him to the door and he left. And sure enough, we came back to church next week, and it was exactly the same. Except that guy wasn't there. And he was a good giver. And I'm going, man, what are you stupid? Apparently you run off a good giver because you don't have any hope that the guy's going to change. How many of you know that you can't control the change of somebody else? The only one that you can control, and you really don't have much control over that, but that is you. You are the one that can say, okay, I'm going to hope today, or I'm not going to hope today, or you just don't even pay attention to it. You're the one that's standing in the gap. So you have to, and I say have to, you don't have to, but it's good for you to be able to go along and say, all right, what do I do with a lack of hope? What do I do with that? What do I do when my wife is not doing what I want her to? How about what do I do when she does what she wants to do and I can't talk her out of it? Well, I'm going to tell you what you do. Get married again. No, love your wife. Love your wife. You say one of the ways to overcome a lack of hope is to go chase hope, but not hope in those things out there, hope of those things in here. See, when hope comes alive in you, I'm telling you, everything around you, even though it seems to be no hope, if you build up the most holy help with inside of you, the times that you have no hope, God will show up in your midst. Now, why? Because he loves you. Not because, you know, God don't walk around and say, you know, I was talking to old Bill and he don't seem to have a, God, that guy's tall. Whatever. God forgive me. But you see what I'm talking about, that the hope that is in us can extend the walk that we have. Now, if you allow hope to be deferred, pushed off to another time, that's in your hand. That's not God doing that to you. Amen. It's, you're not, your wife is not saying, you low life. Now, she might. But let me tell you something. Don't make any difference what a woman says. She's still going to love you. Hello. If you give her some hope. Now, if you don't give her much hope, you ain't going to get much. How do I know? I've given hope when I didn't feel like it. I've given my wife recognition and love and appreciation when I didn't feel like it. You know why? She gave it to me. I wish I could say I'm the greatest husband that ever lived. But that would be a bald-faced lie. But what my wife has taught me how to do is love without expectation. Of the horse and pony show. Do you know what I'm talking about? In the other words, okay, I'm gonna falsify my relationship. I'm gonna talk a good game, but I ain't gonna walk it out. So I'm gonna turn my television on or radio on, or I'm gonna get in my truck and drive down the road, or I'm gonna get occupied with something that will take me out of thinking about my condition. And the thing that you need to look at is the way you overcome a lack of hope is pursue it. Not pursue not having it. Pursue having hope. How many of you have ever had... Boy, I'm asking for it right here, Minnie. But I'm gonna ask you. How many of you have been upset with your spouse? Some of you over here fibbing, you know. Come on, some of you are fibbing and you know it. You need to repent right now. Say, God, I'm sorry, I fibbed. You know, I can look at your husband and see you're not telling the truth. You know. Do you know how wonderful it is? Can I ask you a question? Gentlemen, you're the guitar player, right? Yes. Is that you? Is that your wife? That's your wife? Is that your daughter? Did you marry your daughter and your wife same time? Look at them. They're beautiful. I don't know how you did that, brother, but... Yeah. You better stay close to the house. Amen. What do you say? That ain't going to do you no good. But here I was going to tell you this. I can see in the Spirit of God that you've had challenges and thinking that there's no way to turn it around. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm trying to help you. And help you is that you have been able to go from the place of giving up, quitting, to the place of setting your heart like a rock. And I'm telling you in the name that is above every name, the Father says, I'm going to bless you beyond your comprehension. You've struggled, little sister, but the Father says, not does he only love you, but he's going to strike hope in your household like you've never thought was possible. And I don't mean to embarrass you, baby. I wouldn't do that for nothing in the world. But I really felt like the Spirit of God was saying, let her see that not only is hope deferred maketh the heart sick, when it's not deferred, it brings health. And your day of being sick has come to an end. And the hope that God is springing forth in your life and in your family is beyond your comprehension. So, as they say, learn how to enjoy the journey, baby. Learn how to enjoy the journey. I have a statement that I got from God. 50 years ago. The Lord told me sitting in the back of a truck, and we were going back to Kansas City, Missouri after I'd met the Lord and trying to find my way. And I was sitting on the back of this old truck, and Minnie's driving a car that has no valid registration and no license and no insurance. And it's stolen. Couldn't get much worse. But anyway, we're driving down the road and we stopped. And I asked Minnie, I said, baby, will you make some sandwiches, you know? And so she says, sure. So I'm sitting on the back of the truck, and she's making sandwiches for us to eat. And I hear the Lord. Well, I'm sitting on the back of the truck, and I felt that truck sag like somebody else sat there. And I'm going, you know, what was that? And as I'm doing that, all of a sudden, there's a man, or I look like a man, sitting next to me in all white. And I believe it was the Lord. And he said to me, son, learn how to enjoy the journey, inherit the dream, and you'll fulfill your destiny. See, what God wants you to really get a hold of is hope is not a fleeting thing that just comes around once in a while. You have the ability in your life to stir hope, to stir it up. It's like going down and making a cake. You know, we all like, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I like cake. Amen. I love banana cake. I'm leaving town, so you can't make me one. Although if you tell me you might want to, I might stay around. No. But I don't want to take a long time with this, but I really would like you, as much as the spirit of excellence is here, as much as the love of God has manifested itself here, there is a place that the Father wants to take you that you've not been to before. And it is where you're able to bring hope alive to a city that can't find the end of its sorrow. Now listen to what I'm saying. You know your own town. You know where you live. And I'm telling you, the sorrow that is in the cities of this country are broken down and hurting. And the number one reason is hope. They've lost their hope. You, in a sense, on a continual basis, have lost your hope and seen that, my God, man, can it get any better than this? Well, I'm going to tell you, and I'm here to tell you, that it can get better. It will get better. Are you sick? Yes? No, you're okay? You're not feeling good, though. No, don't do that. The Lord's telling me you're not doing good. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. Vitality in the love of God is overwhelming. When the strength of God supersedes your humanity, it's when you really know he loves you. You understand what I'm saying? And he loves you, sis. He loves you. I'm going to come over and lay my hand on you, because you and I are kind of in the same place. You and I are in a place of transition. Amen? And it's okay, because this transition is going to be a good one. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for a whole, complete strength in body, mind, soul, and spirit. Father, let her flesh be accounted to come and respond properly to the word of God. I ask you, Lord, to touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. And Lord, what ails, let it be gone in Jesus' name. I command it. You give me the authority to, Father, so I place it in action. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. You know, I want you to know something. I'm going to owe you guys a lot. Because I'm overwhelmed. I mean, I'm overwhelmed by how I feel right now. I've been in terrible, terrible pain. You know, the doctors told me, he said, Ron, when it gets bad enough, you'll cry to have them cut your feet off. And yesterday, I spent time sitting in the chair crying, God, please, no more. No more. And right now, I virtually don't have any pain at all. And I want you to know that that really isn't about me. It's about you. It's about you. Because what I have, what's doing something in me is for you. Not for me. I get the residual effect of the love of God. Are you married? Are you together? No? Together? I think I turned it off with my finger. Mechanics. You love her. You love him. What are you waiting for? Now, I'm not trying to play games with you guys and embarrass you or hurt you. But see, it's time. Hope is in this town to change the atmosphere that's here. So you can't just walk with that lady and, you know, you're going to have to step up the plate. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to really get clear, but you better marry her. Come on, preacher. Now, if you're going to clap, let God know about it. Amen. Y'all don't have no clocks in here. What's the matter with you, preacher? What? You playing the piano really sounds good, but what for? Is it time to quit? No. Can I pray for you as a church? Can I pray and ask God to do a wonderful thing in your life? I want to see 30 days of overwhelming hope in this town. And I want to hear the word come out of this city and in this state that there is hope and it's alive. In a church, kind of out in the country. Now, I'm a country guy. I was raised up city boy, but I love the country. Amen. And I love country people because they know what it is to have to do what they got to do, just like you got to do what you got to do. Boy, that wasn't very easy. Are you telling me? Yes, I am. Can I share two things with you and we're going to close and I'm going to pray for you. On the back table, I'm not about selling books or tapes. Everybody ought to know that because I haven't said a single word about it since I've been here. Even my wife will tell me, honey, did you talk to people about this tape or that or teaching or whatever? Well, honey, I meant to. I took the book down there or I took a tape down there or something. And then I forget about it. And you're really too important. We did really a men's conference, as you know, for a few days here. And one of the this is like three CDs on a thumb drive. You know, you stick that thing in the computer, and it just comes up. Anyway, they're audio, they're not video. But this is coming loose. Warrior's Heart, that's what it's called. Part of what we've been doing is talking not only about the warrior's heart, but how to overcome. You know, in your life, in your walk with God, you have got to find the road that is least traveled. You got to find the road that's least traveled. Why? Because a lot of people are not going to help you. They're going to see where you're going and they'll want to make you stumble. Amen? And that means so be it. Well, the answer, this is, let me get my glasses so I can, why do I do this? So I can see. The war of warfare. 2 Corinthians 10 says, the war of warfare. Brother John Kelly's favorite scripture. There's a teaching tape on that whole subject. How do you war the war of warfare effectively? React or respond? Most people react, which is too late, instead of responding. When your eye is open, you're in a response mode, not a reaction mode. You're there before you get there. And then generation of sons. We are right now in a place where sonship is talked about, but nobody understands it in the proper context. I understand it because I've been an orphan most all my life. And then when God came into my life, he began to apply in me the heart of a son. Now, that doesn't make me a spiritual giant. It makes me one that is obligated to my father. If you're a son or a daughter, you're obligated to the one that loves you. Not because of rules and regulations, because that's where your destiny is. Come on, somebody. Your destiny is purpose, is tied up in the Father. What you need to see, not by the rule of law, but the rule of love, that this man and this woman take the place, if you will, in the spirit of a father and a mother that will serve your destiny instead of rule you like you're an orphan under bondage. Do you understand what I mean by that? Or am I saying something? You guys are making a tape of this? Is that right? Okay, good deal. I would really recommend that you sit down and listen to this several times. You know, they say it takes you about 7 times to listen to something an hour long to be able to digest with efficiency what's being spoken. Now, most people never do that. They will buy a tape, and if they listen to it once, it's a miracle. But I would highly recommend that you take the extra effort and say, you know what, I'm going to investigate what it is to be a son or daughter in this house. You know, it's not about building this building. You guys have already done that and done it very, very well. I mean, incredible. But it is about building the generations of sons and daughters in this region. How many of you know there's people that are orphans right here, right now? Amen. You might have had a mom and daddy, but they didn't know how to father you. They didn't know how to mother you. They didn't know how to take care of you. They didn't know how to serve you. They knew how to command you. And see, the day of servanthood by command is coming to an end. It really is. And I've said this several times. I'm 73 years old, and I've gotten a list of how much longer I'm going to live. I don't know, but it ain't going to be a lot longer. I've lived well over half my lifetime. You know, 20 years makes me 93, 4. How many of us are going to make it to 93 or 4? Especially been busted up as much as I have. And I'm only telling you that because you are the generations that have to break the curse of a fatherless, motherless generation in this nation. You, not somebody else, not the seeker-sensitive people, not the people that have big churches that do church in 30 minutes, but a church, a gathering place where people love one another and they serve one another without obligation. So you got the start of it. You've got it. You just got to step up to it. You got to step up to that hope. So it's not something that you experience and then boom, it's gone. You've got to be able to embrace it and serve God with it, give it away to one another. The greatest in the kingdom of God is a servant, is a giver. And I'm talking about money. I'm talking about your life. That's your wife. The greatest place you'll ever give is right there. That's your grandbaby, I'm assuming, right? Is that mama? No? I was going to say, you look awful young to be mama, but, you know, you never know nowadays, man. You just don't know. But honestly, you have the capacity to touch that child, little boy. That little boy. You have the capacity to touch that little boy and make him into a mighty man. You understand? You're a big guy. You can be mighty already, but see, mighty in the flesh, you're a pushover for the devil. He'll kick your brains out. You can't defeat him with this. But when you realize the power of God that's in the hope that cannot be taken from you, that you can believe for that child when he cannot believe for himself. You can stand with him. You can stand him when you are unable to go with him. Oh, you didn't hear me now. I said you can stay and go with him when you're in the place of where you're incapable of doing it yourself. Amen? Yeah, I could stay here all day, man. Except I'm getting hungry. That ain't true. I love you guys. Bless your heart. You really, Brother Rob, thank you. Thank you with all my heart. I appreciate you allowing me the privilege to come hear you and Tammy, you guys in this church. I needed this. I was really tired. This conference had beaten me up pretty good. You know, it's hard to fight a battle when you're the only one fighting. You know? But hey, we ain't gonna quit. No, that's the reality. I'd love to see 2,000 men come in there rip, roaring, and snorting in Solid Rock Church. They'd have a blast. And people are crazy over there. I don't know if you know that, but they are. Lawrence Bishop. You know how he became a man of honor? He was riding a bull on the Wild World of Sports. You can check this out. And the bull, he was riding a world champion bull. And he on the Wild World of Sports, it shows him riding this 3,000-pound, 2,800-pound bull. And that bull goes up. And normally you just lay back and spur him and so forth. And that bull hipped him. What it calls when he went up, he moved his hip and it smashed Lawrence's face into the front of that cow. He looked like an inverted bull. Anyway, I thought I'd tell you that. I don't know why, just that he was tough enough to make it through it. And now he pastors a great church. Great guy. Great friend of mine. But I want you to know, I want to pray, but I want you to know that you have the ability to take this to another level in your community. It's up to you. Because let me tell you something, I don't want to be, you know, people get mad at me, say, well, Brother Ron, you said something about this church or that church. I'm telling you, there ain't a church around here that's going to do what you'll do. Not a one. Okay? I don't care whether seeker sensitive or dumb. It don't make any difference. You guys have got the tools to take it to another level. And so I implore you by the Spirit of God not to settle back. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? The one other thing I'd say to you is this old book right here, I wrote it in 1977. I probably have led or have led well over 150,000 people to the Lord with this book. And I don't know, we don't have that many of them. We've got a few. But you take this book, you find somebody, and you say, you know what? I'd like you to read this. And give it to them. Tell them a little bit about it. Just read a little bit about it. Say, you'd be interested. Give it to them and say, I'm going to leave it with you for 6-7 days. And then I'm going to come back, Joe. And if you read it, great. If you haven't read it, I'm going to take it. I need to get it back because I'm going to find somebody else that needs it, or I know somebody. And then you take it back to them in about a week or so. And you do that, and I promise you're going to lead about 7 out of 10 people to the Lord that you do that to. Amen? How do I know? Because I've done it for years. So I encourage you to, there anything back there. If you, for some reason you don't have any money, don't worry about it. I'll pay for it. You just take it. Just tell Minnie that you're not stealing it. Come on, that was a joke. I told you I don't tell jokes. Amen. I think Tammy and I are a lot alike. You don't tell jokes, do you, Tammy? No. She's not even, you're right. She's not even doing that. She just. But I know you. I know you. Even though I don't, I do. And you're a stalwart woman. You're a woman that will not quit. God bless your heart, baby. God bless your heart. Amen. Take and cross the aisle and take somebody's hand. We could sing Some Glad Morning, but I don't think I want to. Huh? No, I don't. I can't stand that song. How could you sing Some Glad Morning when this life is over, I'll fly away? I know somebody's going to say, wait a minute, it's my favorite song. Amen. It ain't mine. I love you guys. Can you say, Jesus, we love you? Come on, do a better job than that.
Jesus, we love you.
Just because I got this microphone doesn't mean I can't talk. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these men and women of God. I thank you, Lord, for this church, for this gathering place of the mighty God himself. And Lord, I ask you to bless them, bless this work, bless the lives of these men and women. And Lord, for every person in here, I sense in the Spirit of God that there are men or there are women in this room that carry child right now. And Father, I bless those children, though they're not mine. I bless them in the name of God Almighty. Let their days be days not just of life, but days of greatness. And Father, let this church be a marker stone of those that will not quit. There's no backing up. There's no running away. We are people that love the Father God, and we will be accountable to that. I pray, Father, the blessing of finances beyond measure be there so much, God, that you can reach out and share and touch other people, not just with finances, but with the hope that they carry. For what they carry, God, is not tangible in the sense of money, but it is powerful in the sense of God and his love. And everybody said, oh, come on, man, you guys are going to kill me. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Worship Center. I hope you enjoyed this message from one of our anointed visiting speakers. Please visit our website to learn more about our ministry at BethelWC.org. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ.